From London, we present Violet Carson as Auntie in The Manipulator, a play for radio by David Campton. The Manipulator.
10:35. Mrs. Burke's Cowling leaves betting shop and crosses to Butcher's. Win or lose? We'll soon have the answer to that one. Oh, come along, girl. Oh, Brooks's? Edna, it's me. Me! Look, I want you to sort out a pound of grapes. The smallest, greenest, sourest from the back of the box that they put out when my nieces come. And Edna, of course there's something else. You don't imagine I'd waste a phone call on a bunch of grapes? You can serve Mrs. Eldred with chicory when I've finished. And Edna, now, Edna! Edna, don't you want to bring light into the life of an old lady confined to her bed in an upper room? That was very rude. I'm disappointed in you, Edna. Now, am I the only one? There's Mr. Brooks. Remember him? The philanthropist who pays you every Friday for being rude to customers. It's as well I reminded you about Mr. Brooks. Let me remind you of something else. A fortnight ago, you took the day off with a sick headache. Yes, a fortnight ago, the day of that special excursion to London. Does Mr. Brooks know what's on at the Whitehall? Now, Edna, I want you to... That's not the language I expect from a Sunday school teacher. I want you to nip across to Marginson's and order half a pound of mince. Never mind, Mrs. Eldred, you won't lose her custom. You're the only green grocer in the district who'll give her credit. And while you're at the butcher's, find out what Mrs. Burke ordered. Steak or scrag end. It'll be one of the two. Never you mind, you can ring me later. Ah, back to the binoculars. Aha. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Pencil. Pencil, pencil, pencil. 10:45. Mrs. Nee meets Mrs. Scan on the pawnbroker's corner. They talk. They smile. That's a nasty smile. It means I know something about you that you don't know I know. They're both smiling. Must be an interesting conversation down there. Why did I never learn lip reading? Time to send out scouts. Where's my stick? All hands on deck. Now, let's see. It's be about a week last Tuesday. Now, Thursday the 25th. 7:15, Mr. Scan meets Mrs. Nee on the pawnbroker's corner. They shake hands. Mr. Scan forgets to let go. They walk slowly towards town, showing that the Roxy Thursday, Friday and Saturday, naked passion in nature armour. You get slower, Betty Charles. What is it, old age?
You were knocking.
Wise.
The boss doesn't like it.
She can please herself. It's a free country. Listen, Betty.
Lucky for you, I just put a customer under the dryer. If I'd been shampooed...
I'd have knocked again.
Bits fall down from the ceiling. The boss says it spoils the tone of the place. Ours is an high-class establishment.
Nip out to the sweet shop, will you?
The boss says it's
and
got to
And ask for a quarter of peppermints, the sort that tick the top of your head off.
She says I'm paid to be an hairdresser's assistant, not an old girl's
And at the same
boy.
Time, find out if the Scan youngsters have been in with her Saturday pennies.
She says I encourage you, and if she catches me up here again, she'll tear me into long, thin strips. I have to pretend to be getting towels, but she'll
Look,
the
if they
too.
Haven't asked, casually, if they've been sent to their grams in the country.
You don't want me to be torn up into long,
and
thin strips,
And if you
strips,
cross over by
you?
The pawnbroker's corner, catch a few words of what's being said.
Oh, you're not listening.
You speak for yourself. I heard every word, and so did you. Saves time to carry on two conversations at once. You get to my age, you'll realize how expensive time is. What are you waiting for?
The boss won't let me go.
So you said. Don't repeat yourself.
Then what am I to do?
I've just told you. Find out what's happening to the scams.
I could lose me job.
You won't.
The boss...
I know, Louis. Run along.
Why do you want to know about the scams?
It's my business.
It's theirs, too.
They don't want anybody to know what they're doing. They shouldn't do it.
Ooh, you're a wicked old lady.
The word should be curious.
It's called blackmail.
What is?
What you do with what you find out.
Call it manipulation.
Huh. I'd better get back to the shop. I couldn't be all this time looking for clean towels.
Wait a minute.
Why?
I could do something for you. I owe you something for running up and downstairs.
Huh, doesn't matter. I like it.
Don't you want me to help you?
How can
That's
you?
That's right. Come back. You've got your eye on a boy, haven't you?
Who hasn't?
I haven't, but you're 19 and your third finger's aching for a ring.
I've got freckles and the wrong sort of figure.
Some boys like that sort of figure.
Not the boy I want.
Name's Charlie, isn't it? A gormless, 5'10" with too much oil on too much hair. He works at Forges Motors from Monday to Friday and hangs around the Pally every Saturday.
How did you...
I have sources of information. He's not what I'd choose for a child of mine, but if you want him, wrap him up and take him away.
But he's engaged to the blonde from the chemist's.
Not after last night. And don't ask me how I know, because I shan't tell you. You'll be at the Pally tonight in your best bib and tucker, pounce, and you've got him. He'll be lonely tonight.
I wouldn't pick up a boy on the rebound.
Well, which do you want, your pride or Charlie? One of them's got to go.
Ooh, you're a witch.
And that's called thanks. And when you've opened his eyes to the fact that you're alive and feminine, suggest moving over to the Cormorant Club. The dance floor isn't as crowded as the Pally.
I'm not a member.
Oh, stop making difficulties. You will be by the time you get there. I'll arrange it.
And it's expensive.
Ask for Fred Boots and tell him that Auntie sent you. After that, it'll be on the house. Fred owes me a favour. Charlie's ambitious, the Cormorant's a step up, and if E isn't all yours by the time you kiss goodnight, then you don't know how to play your cards.
How do you work it? Wax figures and pins?
Lots of people would like to know. Come here. What do you see?
From the window?
Oh, just people. It's useful having a bed on the first floor because I can see further. With my binoculars, I can see you right into their faces. Amazing what you can learn by looking into faces. For instance, Mrs. Scan and Mrs. Knee are still smiling. And they're keeping up a smile as long as that without letting it quiver. They must hate each other. Here's a telephone keeping me in touch with people out of sight. I keep a diary. Here it is. All the facts in date order. I lie back and put two and two together. From little bits of knowledge, I make bigger bits of knowledge. Then I find people who know what I want to know, and I pay for what they know with what I know.
Ooh, it's spooky.
Gives me something to do, and it keeps me out of mischief. What other sports can you recommend for an old lady minus the use of her legs? You won't forget the peppermints, will you?
I like you, though.
Cupboard, love.
No, it's true. I still think you're a witch, but I like you. I wouldn't rush up them stairs every time you knock if I didn't. And I don't mind telling you, I lose tips that way. The customers don't like to be left half done.
Come on up to Charlie.
Thanks, anyway.
Oh, by the way, you'll keep your eyes open at the Cormorant, won't you? Knowledge, you know. Every little helps.
Won't help me if I get the push for coming up to you.
You won't get the push.
Promise?
It's a promise.
Betty Charles?
Yes, Miss Louise?
You're fired.
Yes, Miss Louise.
You realise why?
Oh, yes, Miss Louise.
The strongest peppermints mind. They're useful for breathing over unwelcome visitors.
I'll be fair. You can take a week's notice.
Take a piece of good advice, Louis. Never say anything that can't be unsaid.
You have customers waiting.
Yes, Miss Louise.
The name is Scan. S-C-A-N. Find out what you can. Sensible girl. She listens to me. I wish I could say the same for you, Louis.
The name is Louise.
It was Louis when I knew your mother.
Time is right for an understanding.
Don't use long words. If you mean have a row, then say have a row and try not to lose your temper. It hampers your thinking.
I will not have you interfere with the running of my establishment.
You're not going to sack that girl, Louis.
She leaves at the end of next week.
I wasn't asking a question. I was stating a fact. You are not going to sack that girl.
How do you know?
I'll tell you later. Do you like a peppermint? They'll be along in a minute.
Listen. Just listen.
Good of you to drop in. Telephone's all very well, but it lacks that personal touch.
You knew my mother, and that is all we have in common.
What a woman, Louis. Splendid eye for detail.
Trading on that friendship, you were allowed to occupy the flat over my salon.
At an exorbitant rent, if I may say so.
You don't pay it.
And the nieces do. It's in the family.
The rent covers the use of rooms on this floor. No more. It does not give you the right to consider my assistants as your personal servants.
A thought never crossed my mind. Friends, I should have called them.
I have made my rules clear to them all. Anyone answering thumps on the ceiling will be dismissed on the spot. After one or two examples, they should appreciate what I mean. I don't know how you managed to seduce them, but it must stop. Stop, stop, stop.
You're a flint-hearted faggot.
In case of dire emergency, you can use the phone. I answer the phone personally.
No wonder you never married. Fancy living with all those prickles.
A woman comes in four times a day to prepare meals and make your bed. Your nieces pay for that, too. Not an ideal arrangement. I should have thought an old person's home would have been more satisfactory.
I'm independent. Don't mind me using the binoculars.
Living alone was all very well when you had full use of your faculties.
Mrs. Nee has dropped her smile. The temperature's rising.
But since your accident, and besides...
The shopping basket makes a handy weapon.
I am not to be accused of persecuting
right.
the elderly and the
infirm. The back of a hand is much more direct.
But I'll expect nothing but trouble as long as you're installed up here.
Smack, now the case is public property.
Understand.
Right. You want to be rid of me. Just a minute while I make a note of my diary. What's the time?
Put quite bluntly, yes.
Mrs. Scan and Mrs. Nee fight.
I'm tired of this situation.
Mrs. Nee struck the first blow.
You must find somewhere else to live.
I'm sorry, Louis. I like to be helpful. But where would I find another window like this? Overlooking a main thoroughfare with a pawnbroker's on one corner, a pub on the other, and a betting shop in between... You'll just have to put up with me for a few more years until I'm wheeled away.
I can be obstinate, too.
You're not fighting me, are you?
You are an interfering old harridan who is damaging my business. I want you out. You can continue the story from there.
Fairly put. But you can't dislodge me. Now we both know where we're placed.
The arrangement with my mother was a friendly agreement. You have no legal rights. I've taken advice.
Was it hard to swallow?
I shall follow argument with action.
I can't understand what men see in you, Louise.
Louise! Men?
After all, you're no chicken, and you've a bite like an east wind.
What did you mean by men?
Same as you, no doubt. Growling creatures in trousers who pay for the drinks.
Insults won't help.
I hear you have a collection. At least the greying civil servant who dined at the boar was different from the young spark who reserved a table at the county club, and neither of them resemble the sandy sport with the vintage Bentley, unless, of course, they were all the same fellow with different wigs. Do they know each other?
You're
now, give yourself time to think. You're not the only woman with an assortment of irons in the fire. Your time of life is common sense to hedge your bets. Betty Charles won't be handed her cards at the end of the week, will she? Be nice to her, Louis. You ought to keep on better terms with your employees.
I won't be blackmailed.
Say manipulated.
I've learned a trick or two.
Why not? Your mother knew the game backwards.
1/4 of strong mints. The little scans were sent to the country last night. One lady said cow, the other lady said bitch, and... Oh, are you still here, Miss Louise?
She was explaining about your job, Betty. You'll still be with us after next week.
Oh, thank you, Miss Louise.
Downstairs.
Yes, Miss Louise.
You take terrible risks.
Aren't your customers waiting?
You'll go. I promise you that. You'll go.
10:52. Mrs. Scan and Mrs. Nee parted by police woman. Hello? Oh, Edna, what was it? Scrag End. I thought as much. Thanks. Oh, Edna, have you had your little flutter yet this week? Try fancy goods this afternoon. Ah, a little horse told me. Goodbye. Scrag End. Now, where does that fit in? Hello? Oh, hello, Polly. All fine, as long as I can keep the roof over my head. No, it's a private joke, Polly. I know you would, but who'd keep an eye on Coleman Street if I stayed with you on North Road? McCreary's sister... Oh, yes, fine. You worked that like an angel. Come to think, though, wasn't Mrs. McCreary's maiden name Nee? And her brother has just moved in, so the Nee's parted after all. That means there'll be a lodger in the Nee house by the name of Scan. Wait for a confirmation of that, Paul. Question is, will the Scan family take him back when the fire goes out? You can leave that one to me, Polly.
Auntie, darling.
Good afternoon, Auntie.
Visitors.
Oh, sorry.
It's only my nieces. Reading from left to right, Miriam and Florence.
Oh, Auntie.
That's Miriam.
Really, Auntie.
And that's Florence. I'll ring later. Goodbye, Polly. Well, here's a surprise. Is it my birthday?
We thought you'd be pleased to see us.
What, together?
Why not?
What's the crisis?
Crisis?
Only Christmas or a crisis ever brought you two together.
I bought a bag of grapes for you, Auntie. The little green ones that you like so much.
Thank you, Miriam. Have one yourself.
I never touch grapes in the afternoon.
And I brought a couple of peaches.
Thank you, Florence.
They're hard, but that means they'll keep longer.
I'll keep them for a long time. Sit down, both of you, and tell me what you want. Well?
Well...
Yes?
Yes. We...
That is, now, the way I see it,
I take my castor oil neat.
You know that we're very fond of you, Auntie. Besides our husbands and children, you're the only relative we have, apart from each other.
Quite so.
You've always been very good to us. After all, Wilfred would never have married Flo without your help.
And Miriam would still be stuck with a filing clerk if you hadn't pushed him on.
Gratitude? I'm surprised. I thought all the specimens of that were in museums.
We've always been grateful to you, Auntie.
Haven't we shown it? We pay the rent.
Flo.
And Mrs. Perkins, who does for me, it all adds up.
But in a manner of speaking,
it's not enough.
No, indeed.
I'm not complaining.
You see, you mean so much to us, Auntie. So very, very much.
To both of us.
And you both came all this way just to tell me that.
Just that.
I'm touched.
Dear Auntie.
Dear Auntie.
You can kiss me.
There.
Now the gum-sucking and toothpasting's out of the way, tell me what you really want.
You're to come and live with us.
Oh, is that an invitation or an order?
You should know Flo by now, Auntie dear. She always wanted to be a quartermaster sergeant. She drills those children of hers like guardsmen.
At least mine are growing up to be boys and not sausages.
The twins are delicate. They need careful feeding.
Spoiled, overstuffed
savages. That's more like yourselves. You know, for a while I was afraid you were in a decline.
What Flo meant to say was this. We've been thinking about you, Auntie darling. Don't screw your nose up and look like that. I mean it. We've been so worried about you lying all alone in your solitary cot without a soul for company.
I've been lying alone for a year. You take 12 months to work yourself up to fever pitch.
Oh, sweetie, you're never out of our minds. I'd adore to be able to flit into your room with tasty titbits.
How her mind runs on food, nauseating.
Unfortunately, we live miles from anyone.
That has compensations. Behind the gush, Miriam is repeating what I said in the first place. You're to live with us.
Both of you?
Naturally. Wouldn't be fair for one to hug you all to herself. We'll share you.
15 miles apart. Which half have you decided to send where?
A funny old auntie. I look after you for 6 months of every year, and for the other 6 months you'll stay with Flo.
No, thank you.
So convenient, even Flo agreed to it.
Flo suggested it.
I said, no, thank you.
You'll have your own little room.
I know the place. A skylit attic with no temperature between baking or freezing.
With me to wait on you hand and foot.
I've been at your mercy before, Miriam. I can forgive, but I can't forget.
You need never be lonely. The twins always pattering in and out.
You're not tempting me with those squalling misfits.
They're lovely when you get to know them.
And soon they'll lodge in a hell's mouth.
You'll be properly cared for with us. To start with a no-nonsense diet.
Yeast powder, dried milk and black treacle.
6 months with Flo and 6 months with me. I can't imagine why the idea didn't occur to us before.
I'm content as I am.
You won't be in the way, I promise.
Not today, thank you.
You'll soon settle down.
And every 6 months there'll be fresh scenery to look forward to.
Flitting from one tomb to another.
We owe so much to you, Auntie dear. I told Flo as much when we met over coffee to thrash this... to come to this agreement. I said we must make sure that Auntie's twilight years are taken care of.
I said... No.
It's a duty. I've never been one to shirk duties. Wilfred agrees, of course.
Can't you hear me? No, 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 no.
If this is the only way to express our gratitude, then this way it must be.
Miriam.
Yes, Auntie?
Look me in the eye. In the eye, not past my left ear. What are you hiding?
Auntie.
Flo.
Our cards are all on the table.
I won't budge.
Don't let this be one of your difficult days, Auntie.
I warned you that she'd be awkward.
I have a life of my own. That's the way I've lived it, and if you don't mind, that's the way I'll finish.
I tried to make everything sound absolutely enchanting, darling. And honestly, it only needs the slightest adjustment on your part, and we'll all be as happy as mayflies.
I warned you that we should stick to the facts. But no, you must have your fancy wrapping.
What are the facts?
We told you, precious.
6 months with Miriam and 6 months with me.
It's the best we can do.
The most we can afford.
Now the rent's to be doubled.
Which rent?
Yours, Auntie.
This flat.
Wait now.
We don't blame Louise. After all, this place would fetch even more if it were given a coat of paint and decent wallpaper. So near to the shop.
Friendly arrangement is one thing, and an economic fact another. Facts have to be faced. Wilfred agrees.
Now, when we talk the matter over, we realize what sillies we must have been all these years.
It'll be cheaper to have you with us.
Just a moment, please.
And you'll be no trouble, none at all.
So banish those little worries from your mind.
When you're confined to it, there's no difference between one room and the next.
Louis, this is a dire emergency. Come up here. I don't care what you're in the middle of. Leave the woman's head to soak and come up here at once.
This place isn't healthy. Dust and petrol fumes, bad for the bronchial tubes. You'll notice the difference out of town.
I take it you've calculated your benevolence in pounds, shillings and pence.
But, Auntie, dear, imagine all the goodies the saving will buy for you. Tonic wine, chicken broth, calf's foot jelly.
Slippery elm, an arrowroot.
Your Mrs. Perkins' wages alone would feed you. Wilfred agrees.
We should have come to this arrangement long, long ago. I can't imagine why we didn't.
You weren't on speaking terms.
That could have been a reason.
And now I brought you together again. Bless us, everyone.
Dear Auntie.
Dear Auntie.
I haven't agreed.
You don't have to, Auntie.
It'll be such fun, darling. The twins are talking about it already. Imagine they're bursting in to greet you in the morning.
Imagine. I shall take to drink.
Not in my house. You need nourishing milk. Make a new woman of you.
There'll be little enough left of the old one. Which of you is to have the pleasure of incarcerating me first?
Well, actually...
Those are the first encouraging words this afternoon.
We haven't had time to work out every tiny detail.
As long as there's an area of disagreement...
I'm simply crying out to have you with us, Auntie, but Flo insists upon being considered.
I have to consider my family. Don't fret, Auntie. One of us will have you.
Whoever has me first has me for Christmas. Whoever has me second has me for the summer holidays.
One of us will have to make sacrifices.
I pin my hopes to that.
We have time to thrash out those little problems. At least a month.
A month?
We gave Louise a month's notice with the rent.
Yes, it'll be the last payment. She let us off with the old terms. Most considerate.
A bargain for everyone. Congratulations, Louis. You're a fast worker.
I thought you'd appreciate the tactics.
Well, is everything decided?
Not quite.
But it will be.
Goodbye, girls.
But we've only just arrived.
You said what you came to say? The message registered? None of us wants to fritter the afternoon away in small talk. Besides, I've something to say to Louis that you're too young to overhear. Give my love to the twins, Miriam. Here's a present for them. A couple of peaches. Pity they're not ripe, but they keep longer that way. And here's something for your boys, Flo. A bag of green grapes, full of vitamins. You can kiss me goodbye.
There, Auntie. Are you coming, Miriam?
There, Auntie.
Miriam, let me whisper to you.
Yes, Auntie.
Come to see me tomorrow morning without Flo. It's important.
I understand, Auntie.
Goodbye now.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Auntie.
That's the situation. What more is there to say?
Shh, 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 shh. I'm waiting for Flo. Here she comes.
You whispered to Miriam.
I knew that would bring you back. I wanted a word with you alone. See me tomorrow afternoon without Miriam. It's important. Now go back to her quickly, or she'll want to know what you've been told.
What did you say to Miriam?
Why don't you exchange confidences?
It won't work, whatever you're plotting.
Don't go into the chicken business, Louis. You'll never get your books to balance. That Mrs. Scan down there, excuse me, binoculars, tarted up like yesterday's leftovers. I'd say she wanted the man back. What do you say, Louis? I can listen while I'm writing.
I'll have these rooms done over.
I've got time, too. 324.
I know a businessman who's prepared to take them. At my price.
Is he prepared to take me with him?
You have a month.
Long enough for my purposes.
Even halving the rent would make no difference now. They've realized how they can save face and the rent at the same time. I don't have to throw you out. You just can't refuse their hospitality, can you? Pale green paintwork, I think. The latest pattern paper and an enormous mirror. And you needn't think of revenge, either.
I never do. It's so wasteful. You're quite safe.
So much can happen in a fortnight. The young man with the Bentley has been transferred to Scotland. I said no to the grey-haired civil servant. He wasn't proposing anything that I could accept. And I've shaken you off. Who's facing the pressure now?
When you go downstairs, tell Betty I'd like to see her.
You rang for me. Why?
I wanted to warn you not to pitch your hopes too high.
You can't bring yourself to believe me, can you? I've won.
I wish you weren't so unhappy.
Why don't you let me help you?
Won. Won. You needn't smile as though you've still a trick up your sleeve. You're back to loser this time.
I trust human nature. It hasn't let me down yet. I should miss this window.
You'll have your memories.
Mrs. Burke leaves the betting shop smiling. She goes straight into the fish shop. There'll be kippers for tea. Two boys with cap pistols shooting it out round the greengrocer's boxes. Why aren't they in school? Is that you, Polly? Look, Polly, I'm getting worried. You suppose I'm losing me touch? I'm worried. Thursday, Mr. Phipps crosses to the paper shop with 10 shillings of his pension to lay out in cut plug for himself and snuff for Mrs. Phipps. Mrs. Elred at the fish shop is served with a pint of mussels. Miriam? Oh, it's you, Betty. I didn't knock for you.
It's my tea break. She can't stop me from coming up in my tea break. Hey, she says that you're moving.
Always check your facts. You know how rumours get spread. I didn't say I was moving. Peppermint?
No, thanks. I tried one when I fetched them back from the sweet shop. Hey, do you want the news? The Scan boys come back from their grand's this morning.
I know.
Ooh, your network must be on overtime.
That's right.
I'll tell you something you don't know, then.
You had a rise today.
You are a witch. Ooh, it oughtn't to be legal. Even I didn't know till a minute ago. She told me to keep it to myself. She didn't tell you.
I put two and two together. Did Charlie fall for the Commodore Club?
I went again last Saturday.
I thought that possible. Two and two usually make four.
That doesn't make sense.
Don't argue against mathematics. You sure you didn't recognise anyone at the Cormorant?
Not a soul. It's all very well for a lark. I'll be back at the Pally tomorrow. I know when I'm out of my depth.
You can keep your head above water. Was it a good rise?
Oh, you mean there's something you don't know?
I'm always ready to learn.
10 bob.
A week?
I can start to save regular now.
You going steady?
I'll tell you that at the right time. Some things ought to be kept private. Why'd you do it, anyway? The binoculars and the telephone, the questions and the gossip. What's it all for?
I want to live. That's simple enough, isn't it?
You don't have to bite. I only ask.
Sorry. It's me age. I'm running short of time. I want to make the most of the scraps while they last. I want to be everywhere and know everything. And I can't because I'm limited to this room and this view. But I do my best with what I have. For instance, I could tell what's happening at this very minute at a certain house in Thirlwall Street. I could read instead, of course, but books aren't people. They're finished. You can always sneak to the back page and check on the ending. And even when you know what's coming, there's nothing you can do to alter it. People are different. They move. All right, so I'm an interfering busybody. But if you found a couple of ends hanging loose, wouldn't you be tempted to tie them together? Send me a slice of the wedding cake.
Where will you be by then?
Either here or 6 feet under.
The boss doesn't think so.
She doesn't know everything.
She's a tough one.
Has her weaknesses. Remember that 10 shillings a week.
She gave me the push a fortnight ago.
There you are. A soft centre.
Why did you want me to go to the Cormorant Club?
You have a mind like a tiddlywink.
Not to me.
Then either work out the answer for yourself or read through to the last page. In the meantime, don't take too many chances with Charlie.
Charlie? Oh, yes, the boy. Auntie, darling, the traffic. Really, I'd have been fast in a wheelbarrow.
My tea must be getting cold.
Well, come up again when you've something to tell me.
I'll tell you something now, Auntie. Your crystal ball needs a polish.
Really?
His name isn't Charlie.
Sharp girl. Pity that threadbare brother of mine couldn't have produced a daughter like her.
In which case she would have been your niece.
So she would.
I'm your niece.
Good morning, Miriam.
You hardly need telling that I spent last night without a wink of sleep.
Anticipation.
You said that it was important, sweetheart, and Flo wasn't to know. The possibilities are infinite.
But you narrowed them down. Well, I'll put you out of your misery this minute. It's nothing to do with me will.
Really, precious. As though that could keep me awake.
I've nothing to leave. You'll never believe me till you count it, but that's your affair.
Darling, I flew here this morning because I knew that you needed me.
Thank you, Miriam.
Now, what can I do?
Do? I take it that you've discussed my future with Flo again.
My dear one never discusses anything with Flo. One merely listens to the same tired argument again and again and again. If she weren't my sister, I'd call her pig-headed.
So nothing is settled?
It will be. One of us will give way, sooner or later. I have a generous nature. I'm quite willing to agree to anything. Flo knows that I have a generous nature and tries to take advantage of it, and if there's one thing which I do object to, it's a thoroughly selfish person taking advantage of my generous nature.
You're a generous girl, Miriam.
I know, it's a terrible disadvantage.
I want to ask a favour.
Oh, you only have to ask, Auntie darling. Of course, I can't guarantee a thing. Between George and Flo, my hands are tied. I really don't know which can be the more obstinate, a husband or a sister. When either of them takes a stand, they're unbudgeable. Well, they'll discover that I can be obstinate too. Having a generous nature doesn't automatically turn one into a doormat.
Miriam,
Flo thinks of herself as a one-man white whore, issuing decrees in all directions with no one to stop her.
Miriam,
trouble with Flo is that there never has been anyone to check her. Wilfred agrees. Oh, the poor booby hasn't dared to stand on his own feet since he was fool enough to propose. He crawled.
Miriam.
Flo must have a holiday abroad next summer. And, of course, Wilfred agrees. It's nauseating to see the man grovel.
So Florence is to have me first.
She imagines.
Between the South Pole and the North Pole, there's not much to choose. They're both bleak prospects.
I won't reverse my entire life to suit Flo's convenience. I'd practically arrange the Costa Brava for next summer. Viora's bulging with brochures. Besides, the twins need the sun. Flo must take a back seat for a change.
Miriam.
No, sweetie, you'll come to me first, and Flo can have you for the summer.
Is it my turn to speak now?
You wanted something?
Yes, Miriam.
What is it, sweetie?
I want to stay with Florence first.
Auntie!
Disappointed?
I thought you liked me.
When you're ready to listen, I'll explain. In the meantime, pass the binoculars.
After taking all the trouble to explain the situation in the minutest detail, not that I give a pig's whistle for summer holidays, but to hear you say that you want to stay with Flo, that hurts. To have you suggest to my face that you preferred... That really is a knife in the bosom. And if that was all you had to tell me, Poppet, I can't imagine why you had to drag me here at this ungodly hour to listen.
Mrs. Beresford is wheeling her aunt down to the pawnbroker's. Old habits die hard. HP for the youngsters, uncle for the evergreens. Is that all?
If you insist on putting up with Flo, who am I to object? Who will discover your mistake soon enough, darling?
Now, what would Mr. Brake be doing up with his dog at this time of day? Surely he's not down to a four-day
week. To start with, she's a food fiend. Counts each calorie before it touches your plate. If you really enjoy lunches of yogurt and nuts, then I've no more to say. Why should I take the trouble to warn you? I've been hurt.
Is that all?
If I expected consideration, I must have been out of my mind. Why should Flo be favoured?
Do you really want to know?
Auntie Pet, I'm asking.
Then listen.
What else have I been doing?
I need your cooperation.
Take advantage of me. Be like all the rest.
I may be winkled out of my home, but I've no intention of giving up everything that makes life worth living.
I should have thought staying with Flo was a fate worse than death.
I study human beings. You know my hobby. Humans are more varied and less predictable than butterflies. I keep my collection in this diary. You may have noticed it. Wherever I go, this diary goes with me. Do you see daylight yet?
No, Auntie.
Dear dense Miriam, I don't know how your husband puts up with you.
We rub along comfortably.
How long has his secretary been with him?
You were explaining about your diary, precious.
So I was. When I'm locked away from the world, I'll only have a few people to work on. However, not to worry. I can study that handful in detail. In depth is the modern expression. For my own convenience, I would rather start with Florence and her brood. With that light in your eye, Miriam, you look almost intelligent.
So Florence goes in first.
At the end of 6 months, I should have a very full diary.
I can imagine it. Absolutely absorbing.
You may as well understand from the start, Miriam, that I find it almost impossible to carry on the same conversation with you. After half an hour's grappling with that vacuum you consider a mind, I feel tireder than Hercules after all 12 labours. Oh, I'm not blaming you. You take after your father. The only time he was known to talk sense he was under an anaesthetic. But what shall I do when you and I are confined together for 6 months? Shall I turn Trappist and renounce speech altogether? Or shall I endure your babble like a refinement of the Chinese water torture?
I don't think that's altogether funny, Auntie.
But there is an escape hole. One topic of conversation which I can always renew and you'll never exhaust. Florence.
Oh, yes, we can always talk about Florence.
Mention any hour of any day and I'll tell you what happened then. What time of morning will Fred Tiptoes home, and what's said over breakfast afterwards?
Darling.
How long the grocery bills run unpaid.
Precious.
And where the surplus housekeeping funds are invested.
Sweetie, it's absolutely sinful, but it's a gorgeous idea.
What Florence does in the long winter evenings will help to pass our long summer days. You don't mind now if I visit Florence first?
I'm thrilled at the prospect. But just a moment. How can you find out all that if you never leave your room?
I have my methods. I never leave this room, but I can tell you that you bought a model hat last Thursday.
I didn't.
A purple creation from Buxby's. Very expensive.
That's not true. I mean, it was a mistake. I mean, it's only on approval.
Which means you haven't told George yet.
He's so obstinate, particularly about hats.
You see? Florence has a telephone.
Who hasn't?
And a couple of little beasts who'd have been a credit to the Marquis de Sade. Oh, yes. I'll have my fun with Florence.
What about me, Auntie?
I'll have even more fun with you, Miriam. That is, if I ever come to stay.
You will, I insist.
But Florence first.
Florence first. And to hell with the Costa Brava.
Now run away and spread the glad tidings. I've work to do even if you haven't. What have you done with the twins?
They're at school, of course. You forget how time flies, dear. In any case, if I ever leave them alone, I only have to slip them sixpence, and they're as good as gold. They'll do anything for sixpence.
Will they now? That's useful to know. Goodbye, Miriam.
Oh, you won't tell George about the hat, will you?
Not a word. I promise.
I hate George to worry. I'm soft-hearted that way. Bye-bye, Auntie darling.
On your way to Florence.
How did you guess?
Polly, I'll be seeing Florence this afternoon. Yes, yes, it's working like a machine. You put your penny in and...
A simple answer to a simple question, that's all I ask. Why Miriam this morning?
You've seen her?
She saw me, licking the cream off her whiskers.
I expected as much, silly Miriam. Peppermint?
I never touch sweets. They do more damage than drink. Adiposity, rheumatism, and work for the dentist. I want to know what's the matter with Miriam.
Nothing, as far as I know. She looked healthy enough when she left here. You're the expert. Too many sweets, perhaps.
She agreed with me.
Ah, that sounds serious.
She surrendered unconditionally and put it down to her generous nature. Her generous nature. I'd sooner believe in Santa Claus. Miriam never laid out sixpence without expecting half a crown in return. I want to know how much I'm expected to pay for her generosity. Where's the catch?
She is your sister.
That's no excuse. She was positively crowing. She said that I could do exactly as I pleased. Now what am I to do?
Exactly as you please, I presume.
I'm in the dark. My principle has always been, contradict Miriam and you can't go far wrong. As long as she insisted on having you first, I knew where I stood. Besides, her motives were clear enough. As if the Costa Brava couldn't wait for a year or so. Now I'm baffled.
You could change your mind, too, and bundle me off to Miriam first.
Suppose that's what she's really after, and this is an underhand way of getting it. Generous nature. She knows what she wants.
Don't you?
How can I? Whatever I do, I'm likely to be cheated. Imagine, double-crossed by that bubblehead. The scheme isn't hers.
She handled her cards very well. She surprised me.
You told her something, though.
We chatted of this and that. She was determined to put me up first. I dissuaded her. Surely that doesn't disappoint you. I understood from Miriam that was the arrangement you'd set your heart on. Did Miriam deceive me?
I did want it that way.
Oh, now you have it that way.
It's duplicity.
Oh, the world is full of that, Florence.
Why should you do this to me? I'm your niece too, remember?
I remember.
You'll be living in my house as my guest.
So you propose.
I'm entitled to some consideration.
What do you want?
Tell me, what does Miriam know?
You'd better ask her.
I want to know now.
Then ask her now.
How?
You told her that you were seeing me this afternoon, didn't you?
I couldn't deny it when she asked. I don't tell lies.
Not that it mattered. Miriam has enough sense to keep her eye on you, and she'll have talked to George over lunch. If I'm not mistaken, the penny will have dropped.
You mean Miriam followed me here?
She must be halfway up the stairs by now.
How do you know?
My window. I saw her running across the road. And I'll tell you this much, Florence. Miriam isn't happy either.
Ah, I thought so.
You're soon back, Miriam, dear.
Don't you call me a dear, Auntie darling. That's hypocrisy. What are you doing with Flo?
Florence is trying to discover what you have been up to with Auntie.
It's all a plot. A wicked plot.
Open of you to admit it.
George woke me up. Can't you see,
blow.
All I can see is my sister flapping about as usual like a demented duck.
I've been misused, sweetheart, by Auntie.
Sit down and answer me.
I was led into temptation, precious. Is it my fault if I have a trusting nature? And here you are being led up the same garden path. I might have suspected a trap from the start, but my trusting nature got in the way. I didn't even look for a trap. And after all, darling, when a person offers a person a helping hand, a person doesn't expect that person to lay them out with a blunt instrument, especially when that person happens to be a person's own auntie. Well,
what has Auntie done to you?
You needn't crow. She's done it to you, too. She's driven a wedge.
Oh, what?
A wedge.
Mrs. Berkeley should be here in a minute. Either you'd like to stay to tea.
Can you explain reasonably?
You know what a wedge is, don't you?
Of course I know what a wedge is.
Well, she's driven it. She wants to divide us.
Inclination and upbringing made a good job of that. More could I add.
Once we're divided, she can twist us round her bedpost. Her and her diary.
What diary?
Take it, you won't be staying to tea.
You know perfectly well what diary, sweetiekins. My eyes are open now. George opened them for me.
Clever man.
The diary that Auntie's just been telling you about. Oh, yes, Auntie dear. The whole scheme's as clear as a searchlight. The twins would do anything for sixpence. Who'll be paying them? It all adds up. There'll be a diary about me, too. Something to keep Florence amused through the long winter evenings.
I said, what diary?
Oh, argue it out between yourself, girls. I've work to do.
4:15. Drop that innocent airflow, darling. It doesn't deceive me and only makes you look retarded. There's been only one diary mentioned today. The topic of conversation for a 6-month stretch. You can't deny it. What else were you talking about when I caught you here?
You. And I repeat, what diary?
You honestly don't know?
I don't know.
Brownie's honour.
But I'm going to find out.
Oh.
You hadn't run, Miriam. You might have given yourself time to think. Oh, Mr. Balsam's buying a pineapple. One small pineapple.
Auntie's diary?
Oh, you noticed it. Flo notices diary.
Why should it concern me in the long winter evenings? Why should there be one about you too? What did you mean by two? What brings George and the twins into the plot? And why should Auntie mention it to me?
I can't answer half a dozen questions at once.
One at a time will do. What did you mean by you two?
I won't be bullied, darling. I'm the most easygoing person in the world, and a child could leave me, but I won't have my easygoing nature abused. If you try to bully me, I shall stand firm. Or go home.
Your conscience is playing you up.
As if my conscience could be troubled by a little slip like that.
Slip like what? You're not looking me in the face.
Can you blame me, pet? Auntie, dear, say something.
You set Florence off, Miriam.
I didn't, sweetie. I have an impressionable nature, and everyone puts upon it. George puts upon it, Flo puts upon it, and you put upon it worse than anyone. Well, I won't be put upon. I won't.
You too. That means me too. Two. Two. Two.
For goodness sake, stop plonking away on one word, Flo.
Why am I to look after Auntie first?
I have a generous disposition. I can't bear to see anyone unhappy. Obviously you wanted Auntie first. Take her, Angel, with my blessing.
Her diary. Her diary includes me, too.
Oh. Stop thinking. You're wrong, absolutely wrong. That's merely the perverted way your mind works. The idea's absurd. As if I'd have a flicker of interest in Auntie's diary.
Oh.
Let my brother-in-law roll home whenever he chooses. Why should I concern myself with your grocer's bills? Oh. In any case, why shouldn't I find out what goes on behind your curtains? I know perfectly well that for 6 months afterwards you'll be ferreting out what goes on behind mine.
Oh.
And don't keep puffing like a steam engine. You're driving me mad.
You surprise me, Miriam. Yes, after all these years, you have managed to surprise me. Congratulations. I thought I'd anticipated the worst. Common treachery I was always prepared for. After all, what else can be expected from a sister? If one's fool enough to turn one's back, one shouldn't complain when one finds a knife in it. Ordinary deceit one takes as a matter of course. Why shouldn't you lie to me? I'm only your sister. Sisters ought to watch out for double-crossing, backbiting, character-snatching, and the occasional confidence trick.
Dear.
Her sister can't sink lower than that. I thought. I was mistaken. My sister proposes to plant a spy in my own home.
You proposed it, love. I only agreed.
Some depths of depravity are so low that one has to applaud.
I do admire a thoroughly brazen woman, even when she is my own sister.
Don't forget that there are 12 months in every year. They come in 2 batches of 6.
I haven't forgotten. You peep through my keyhole and I'll peep through yours.
I have nothing to hide.
Exhibitionist.
You want to know how many times a week I clean the bathroom. You have only to ask.
If you must find out how many bottles we drink a week, just count the empties.
I don't wish to know that.
What do you wish to know?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Don't mention scruples to me, darling.
I never mention scruples.
Find out if you know what scruples
are. I have scruples.
How amazing. You actually have scruples, Angel.
I have scruples to spare.
What do you mean by scruples?
I mean scruples.
There's no call for a megaphone. When Florence has finished with me, I go to Miriam. When Miriam is tired, I return to Florence. You each have a go in turn. What does it matter which square you start from? Why not toss for it? Heads or tails makes no real difference.
I have a sentimental nature. It's always being abused.
We'll stick to our agreement. Auntie comes to me first.
Noble of you, Florence.
But she won't keep her diary.
Won't she?
She won't. I'll make sure of that.
Now the ball and chain comes out. What other home comforts are you advertising, Florence? Thumbscrews? Racks?
You'll be comfortable, Auntie. In a disciplined way.
I can feel it already. However, a diary isn't essential.
Glad to hear it.
I have a memory.
Meaning?
What were you doing at 3 p.m. a fortnight ago last Thursday?
Me? Nothing. What am I supposed to have done?
Shall I remind you in front of Miriam?
No.
Auntie, dearest, you shouldn't do that to me. Offer a titbit and then snatch it away.
Buxby's had a model hat last week. A feathery thing in purple.
Auntie, you promised.
Did I mention you? Would the word salmon mean anything to you, Miriam?
Oh.
Or red Bordeaux strike a chord with you, Florence?
Oh.
No. No hands. It's all stored up in here. Or will you want to cut off my head too, Florence?
Don't tempt me.
I'm not boasting, mind. Merely stating facts. I'm fond of facts. I collect them. And as long as I'm at your elbow, the data is available. You can have it for the asking.
Can we?
And as long as the data is available, you'll be asking for it.
Shall we?
Ooh, you'll find the right excuses to settle your consciences. With Florence, it'll be a question of duty. On a matter of public interest, you have a right to know. With Miriam, it'll be the tiniest self-indulgence. Just this once can't do any harm. Besides, you'll each know that the other has already been to the cupboard.
You make me feel so helpless, dear.
Nicely tempted, Auntie. But there is an answer.
What?
Self-restraint.
You sell that to Miriam.
Anyone can sell me anything. I have a trusting nature.
Listen to me, Miriam.
If you want a thing, it can't be good for me. I'm sure of that.
You want to find out all about the model hat and the salmon?
You mustn't.
We must never. You understand what I mean by never?
I mean never.
Never ask Auntie about each other's private lives.
She's already burning to know where you were 3 weeks ago.
Can I help it if I'm naturally curious?
You must promise never to ask. Let me hear you promise.
You're trying to bully me again, Florence.
I am trying to be reasonable.
It sounds like bullying to me. I won't be bullied.
You don't watch out, you wriggle away.
Swear it.
Why don't you try coaxing? Anyone can coax me.
Fool.
Fool yourself, darling. Finger wet, finger dry, and such like nonsense. It doesn't work. I've proved that over and over again. I never could keep a promise.
I have a well-stocked memory. It goes back for years. Remember the time you pinned a note to the pillow for Wilfred, Florence?
I didn't know that.
No one knew.
I did. But what was Miriam doing while George was in Swansea?
No, please.
Thank you, Auntie.
I like to play fair.
Is the situation clear now, Miriam?
It happened before the twins arrived. Heavenly at the time, of course. But absolute misery after.
Miriam!
So long ago, I'd forgotten all about it myself.
Lock your skeletons back in their cupboard and pay attention.
You don't want to know what George said when he opened a certain parcel by mistake?
No, thank you.
You don't want to know how Wilfred sprained his ankle after last New Year's ball?
Well...
You don't, Miriam.
No, thank you.
I don't believe you.
You're quite right.
Don't give way, Miriam.
I won't. But how did Wilfred sprain his ankle?
Be strong, Miriam.
I'll try.
We'll support each other like Alcoholics Anonymous. When you feel yourself reaching for another slice of scandal... Give me a ring. I'll drop everything and calm you down.
But what happens when you're tempted, darling?
I have strength of character. You have to trust me.
The only answer. Trust each other.
It won't work.
It must, or our lives won't be worth living. If we can't curb our curiosity, we might as well live naked in glass houses.
And that's a repulsive prospect.
I mean, it won't work, sweetie, because you won't believe me. I can stick my fingers in my ears whenever Auntie drops a hint. I can cross my heart and spit when I swear that I never ask the slightest question, but you won't believe me.
How do you know I won't believe
you? Because I won't believe you either.
Are you calling me a liar?
Of course, darling, you're my sister. How can I trust you? I know you too well. We were brought up together, remember? You used to steal my letters and I steamed open yours. Neither of us could keep a secret because the other always stole it. That's the way things stood until we married. I can tell you I breathed a sigh of relief when I left home, but now...
We must be firm. We must never listen to Auntie.
But if neither of us believes the other hasn't listened, then there's no virtue in not listening. If you think I know all your secrets, then I might as well know them.
Miriam!
It works the other way around, too. Trust you, Flo. I'd sooner trust a ravening octopus. No, our private lives will be public property as long as we have Auntie on our doorsteps.
I wondered how long you'd take to get there.
Don't behave as though you had brains, Miriam. They don't suit you.
Don't you agree?
What else can I do?
So every 6 months there'll be fresh revelations.
There won't.
It'll be like having an earthquake twice a year. Exciting in its way, but inconvenient in the long run.
There is an answer.
I know what you're going to say, darling, but don't let that stop you saying it.
One of us must keep Auntie all the time.
Exactly.
Agreed?
That arrangement will have its little inconveniences, like never getting away for a summer holiday. You wouldn't be able to trust Auntie with me even for a fortnight, would you? I was so anxious to have the chance of looking after her. But that's life, precious. One must be prepared to make sacrifices. Anyway, I can give way gracefully and visit you both regularly. Shall we say every other Thursday?
I said one of us.
It was a noble suggestion. You were speaking for yourself, of course.
Auntie, you'll roast in hell for this.
Not only this. Knock on the floor, will you?
Why?
Bring Louis up.
I don't want Louis.
That month's notice has to be cancelled.
Cancel the notice? But the double rent, darling.
Now, you wouldn't have your old auntie on the street.
One could buy a model hat every month with the price of this place.
We agreed to forget the model hat.
The blow has been too sudden. I'm numb. The full realization hasn't taken hold. When it does, I shall be in such a temper.
We shan't notice the difference.
I could suggest to Wilfred that we refuse to pay the rent.
But you won't. Instead, suggest that he treats you to a dinner at the Cormorant Club. He won't, but he might buy you a new hat.
That's not fair.
Well, you already have a new hat, and I won't tell a soul how you came by it.
You had this fiasco all arranged from the first.
You arranged it with Miriam. My dears, you're as free as air. You name the game, I'll play it. But you must both be very kind to Louis. She was so looking forward to losing me, weren't you, Louis?
What does that mean?
What it says. But don't let that alter your plans, Louis. The place could do with a spring clean. Pale green paintwork and an enormous mirror, you decided. I'd like an enormous mirror, slightly tilted. Then I'll be able to see what's happening up the street without turning round.
Lawrence! Miriam!
Why should you worry, darling? At least you can look forward to your rent. We are out of pocket into the bargain.
There's this businessman. I've made arrangements.
Then you'll have to do like the rest of us. Cancel them.
I won't be made a fool of. I'll take steps.
Take my advice instead.
Don't.
Have you quite done with us, Auntie?
Do call again.
Not this year. Thank you.
Coming, Miriam.
Auntie dear, you've been absolutely beastly to us. But I forgive you. I have a forgiving nature. I'll be back next week. You do love grapes, don't you? Then you can tell me.
Miriam!
Coming, darling. There's no need to drag me away.
Of all the underhand...
Language, Louis. This is a class establishment. They change their minds. It's allowed.
More blackmail?
My own nieces? It's a pity to abuse their charitable instincts. You won't raise the rent, will you?
I'll do whatever I like. You've no hold on me.
Hold? Take me for an all-in wrestler. Still, next time you're at the Cormorant Club...
I've never been near the Cormorant Club.
Of course not. But next time you're there, give my love to Fred Boot. Give him some of your own if you can spare it. You've caught his eye, Louis. He may be a gorilla, but he's the marrying kind. I never felt the need for marriage, but I think it'd be good for you. Rub down the sharp edges. Besides, if you and Fred Boot hit it off together, you can pack you-know-who back to his wife.
Who?
Whoever takes you to the Cormorant Club. Peculiar things, coincidences.
Sorry to keep you, but I was in the middle of... Oh, Miss Louise, you came up.
I came up.
Oh, well, while you're here, Betty, you may as well run across to the sweet shop for me. Can she, Louise?
Do whatever you like. Who owns this business anyway?
What's wrong with her?
She's human. It takes some getting used to. Now, what's all this about Charlie?
His name's Percy. He's a bank clerk, and I think we click...
He was supposed to be Charlie.
Yeah, well, some of us have minds of our own. What do you want from the sweet shop?
Do you like chlorodyne gums?
No.
Chlorodyne gums, then.
You call it manipulation, don't you? Well, you can chew this with your chlorodyne gums. You can only manipulate persons who let you manipulate them.
That's a lot of words.
A quarter?
2 ounces.
Right.
And Betty?
Yes?
You stick to that.
You bet.
It makes a change. 4 o'clock. Mr. and Mrs. Scan walking towards town with 3 Scan boys. They look a happy family. That works smoothly enough.
course, then, it makes a change. Mrs. Burke leaves the betting shop scowling. She crosses to the butcher.
The Manipulator, a play for radio by David Campton, was produced for the BBC by Alfred Bradley.